on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Ambassador John Bolton, former National Security Advisor, former Ambassador to the United Nations, to honor the passing of a great American servant, public servant, Donald Rumsfeld, 1932-2021, a man born in Chicago, Illinois, and serving several presidents, most importantly, serving the nation on the attack on 2001. John, you've written a poignant review of Donald Rumsfeld's life from the point of view of where we are right now, which is Afghanistan. You grow it to the story of the Middle East, but that includes Afghanistan because we know they're interweaved. The jihadists have interweaved all these governances. Donald Rumsfeld did not believe, as you report in the Telegraph most recently, in the pottery barn version of diplomacy. You break it, you own it. How so, John? What did he follow in his understanding of Afghanistan and then Iraq? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, he did not believe that the United States broke Afghanistan or Iraq, for that matter, by our presence. He thought they were broken long before that. And he remembered that the reason that we went into Afghanistan after 9/11 and later into Iraq was to protect Americans from danger emanating from those countries. Certainly our presence brought collateral benefits to the inhabitants, and that's fine. But that was not the main purpose. So he was convinced that because we were in an ideological struggle with the jihadists, that the most important thing was to fight them on the basis of ideology, and that physically the most important thing was not to allow the U.S. to be driven out of the Middle East or Afghanistan.
That is what we're witnessing right now, John. I report from the Long War Journal that more provinces, more districts are falling to the Taliban, that the Taliban itself these last days has expressed wonder at how fast they're going to roll up Afghanistan. I believe only 20% of the country is now ruled to be in control of the Afghan National Army. Is this Mr. Rumsfeld's nightmare? Is his passing reminding us that we held firm because the Taliban was a threat, and now the Taliban is growing in confidence? I don't know that it's going to stop at the border of Afghanistan.
I don't think it will. I think, the Taliban said for many years about Americans, they said, you have the watches, we have the time. And Joe Biden's watch came to the end of its time. Donald Trump's had, too. Let's be clear. If Trump had been reelected, he would be withdrawing from Afghanistan, too. And they're both wrong, because this now gives the Taliban the chance to take over and, again, provide sanctuary for the likes of al-Qaeda, ISIS, and who knows what else. It puts more pressure on the government of Pakistan, which already has, even in its military and its intelligence wing, a heavy jihadi presence. And one has to say, in Central Asia, the five former republics of the Soviet Union, stands, as they're sometimes called, there have been jihadis there too. The Islamic movement of Uzbekistan, which really covered all five of the countries. I think that the potential for instability in this broader region is greater than people think.
Yes, John, you know I've traveled to Central Asia frequently over these last years, and especially to Azerbaijan. No one is outside the fear of the Taliban because of their ability to recruit the alienated throughout these lands. We know that many, many young people have gone to Moscow, for example, for work, because there hasn't been a livelihood for them in the Central Asian republics. They're recruitable as well by the jihadists. They're all good Muslims who have been alienated by the Soviet model. The younger people don't really have a center. So what I'm looking at now, John, is a report from Moscow that Moscow is now forward-basing 6,000 servicemen into Tajikistan to reawaken one of their few bases outside of Russian territory because Moscow, the great and wonderful Oz, is fearful of the Taliban. What does this tell us then, John, about the planning that the Biden administration has done to prepare for this? Is it talking to our potential allies in Central Asia? Do we know? Is there a conversation about how we'll provide some sort of understanding if the Taliban continue to recruit in Central Asia?
Well, I think what they're talking to them about is getting access to bases. We used bases in Uzbekistan. At one of my first trips after 9/11 overseas was to Uzbekistan to negotiate base rights. But I don't think the Biden administration appreciates the loss that we're suffering logistically from getting out of Afghanistan militarily. Biden has long held that position. He's been wrong for a long time. And I think we could find ourselves not just caught inadequately prepared in Afghanistan, but if we find ourselves with bases in an unstable area in Central Asia, if that's what it turns out to be, we're really at risk across the Middle East. This people say, well, these are Sunni lands. You don't have to worry about Iran, which is a Shia country. Look, these radical ideas, this ideology, really emanated in contemporary times from the 1979 revolution in Iran. And never forget the ancient saying of the region, I against my brother and I against our cousin, all of us against the stranger. So in terms of a terrorist threat outside the region, if we have, if by pulling out, if we have given rein to the Taliban and they in turn empower others of the same ideology, that's shown no sign these last 20 years of the embers dying out, the terrorist threat could begin even sooner than we fear.
Another saying that I've learned over the years, John, and we've talked about it, the strongest horse. Is the Taliban now the strongest horse, and can they write their own ticket?
I'm afraid that's right. You know, when Afghan President Ashraf Ghani was in Washington just a few weeks ago, he said, look, we're at the beginning, we're in 1861, alluding to the beginning of the American Civil War. Honestly, that's the optimistic scenario. I think it's possible, maybe even likely, that there's not going to be a civil war in Afghanistan. I think it's possible that the national army will simply disappear. We've had signs of thousands of them already deserting, Taliban extending its control, as you mentioned earlier, across the northern part of the country. Now assuming the function of collecting customs taxes from merchants coming into Afghanistan, the normal functioning of government now beginning to fall to the Taliban. I can't give you any good news. I don't see any good signs of non-Taliban Afghans having a way to resist.
Is there a moment it went wrong, John, or was the whole idea of garrisoning and nation building the wrong conception from the beginning?
Well, the wrong conception was the nation building part. The overthrow of the Taliban, the rooting out of al-Qaeda, was correct conceptually. It was not carried through completely operationally successfully, but it was the right idea. Where we went wrong, it was the idea that we, the United States, or anybody else, was going to build an Afghan nation. Whatever was going to happen there, they were going to do. But that didn't mean that we shouldn't be present to help them against the Taliban, but most importantly, and bear this in mind, most importantly, to help ourselves by preventing the Taliban from again giving a base to terrorists who wanted to strike worldwide.
We're speaking with Donald Rumsfeld now, John. What would he tell us about the what's coming up the next years for the Biden administration?
Well, I think he would recall that in 2011, Biden and Obama withdrew American forces from Iraq with great fanfare, saying it's over, we've won. And just a few years later, confronted with the rise of ISIS, we were right back in. It's a long presence is required. It was called in the 19th century by the British forward defense, because it's better to defend against these threats. It's better to look out for our interests in the region where the threat arises, rather than face them in the streets and skies over America.
We have 30 seconds, John. What's a fond memory you have of Donald Rumsfeld and all your conversations with him?
Well, he had a wicked sense of humor, which he usually deployed privately. And many people thought he was tough, which he was, but he was also incredibly friendly to the younger people, aides who worked with him, helping to mentor them. He was a man America will miss.
John Bolton, Ambassador John Bolton, former National Security Advisor, Trump Administration, former Ambassador to the United Nations for the Bush Administration, remembering the passing of Donald Rumsfeld, 1932-2021. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.